Okay, I'm delighted to be joined on Mario Sunday Roast by my Sunday Roast panel, Pamela Joyce. Pamela, how are you?
I'm wonderful, thank
Good
you
Good luck
very
on
much.
Your show today,
Why,
1
thank
to 4.
You. Weekend Warriors.
New Sunday show. And Emmett Ryan from the Sunday Business Post.
Great to be here, Mario.
Great to be here. And fantastic. Okay, here's what you're throwing into Mario Sunday Roast, Pamela.
Yo, Taylor. I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Right, what's that about?
Oh, it is one of the greatest entertainment moments of all time. It was in 2009. Taylor Swift won the MTV VMA for Best Female Video. She was in the middle of accepting her award, giving her speech, and Kanye West pops up on stage and says, look, I'll let you finish, that's great and all, but Beyonce should have won this award, essentially. Which started a 10-year feud between the two of them. That feud then went from Kanye West into Kim Kardashian, and now Taylor and Kim and Kanye kind of have this on and off fight. And it's incredible. It's amazing to see. It's what I want from entertainment because, let's be honest, they're not really making great music. No one's making great TV anymore. So what are you doing with all of your spare time in the entertainment world? You're not fighting. You're not entertaining me. And this comes off the back of course, the biggest entertainment story of the year, let alone the week, Agatha Christie, yeah. Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy. It's incredible. I've never seen Twitter take off like it did. 9 out of 10 tweets were about it. The memes, the comments, the retweets. It was absolutely everywhere, and I enjoyed every second of it. But it got me thinking, how did two, we'll say nowadays, relatively unknown women, they may have been kind of in the news in 2007, 2008, how did they give us the biggest entertainment story of 2019? Where have all the good celebrity feuds gone? I'm bored. Give the people what they want. Like, early 2000s was peak for celebrity feuds. There's an amazing scene in The Hills, which is a reality show set in LA, where Lauren Conrad confronts her friend Heidi. Heidi's boyfriend has been, you know, talking smack, as they say, about Lauren, and this is the most incredible conversation they have. Have a listen.
Well, I didn't come here to fight with you. I really didn't. I just came here to say I really am sorry for all that you've been through, and I'm so sorry for things that have happened this way. And I really
appreciate that. It was really hard for you to apologize. I understand that, and I really do appreciate it. But the only thing really that there is to do is to forgive and forget. So I really do. I want to forgive you, and I want to forget you.
Oh, whoa. Oh! I want to forgive you, and I want to forget you. That is TV gold. That is one of the quotes that, like, people my age go around. I wanted on a T-shirt. I want it everywhere. But I'm just...
And Pamela, you're making the point then that basically there are no real good, juicy celebrity feuds anymore. And that's why we've been living off this Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy thing for a week.
We've latched onto it because there is nothing else. People are so conscious of their image, whether it's a brand or a person. They're afraid to kind of step out of line and, you know, voice their opinions and say, I have an issue with you, but I'm not going to say it just in case it backlashes on me. I just give us what we want. Entertain us. I mean, the feuds of the... There was an amazing feud between Richard Gere and Sylvester Stallone in the 1970s on the film Lords of Flatbush. Richard Gere was originally cast in it, and the two of them just did not get on. Sylvester Stallone said, you know, he'd walk in here in his oversized motorcycle jacket, walking around like he was the baddest knight at the round table. Like, incredible. And they apparently fell out over spilled chicken grease as well.
And it's just not happening anymore.
And Richard Gere ended up being recast because there was so much bad blood in that. And it's just so boring nowadays. Nothing goes on. Everything's just love and appreciation. You're amazing. I love you. No, you don't.
And even
have
in
a fight with someone.
And even in reality TV as well.
Yeah.
Nothing happening because of everybody's too media savvy.
You know, it's, you know, Love Island. I know you're a closet watcher. You love it, Mario. I can see it in your
eyes.
Sure,
yeah.
But
big
this
Obi
year,
fan here as well, I gotta
say. Of course. But it was so dull this year because if you go back to even 2016, 2017 Love Island, it wasn't as big as it was this year, and the contestants had no idea just how big they were going to be when they came out. They probably weren't, maybe in 2017, as big as they are now. And they were like throwing glasses of champagne at each other. The bodyguards had to come in to pull them back. They were screaming at each other. And that's the TV I want. If I want to sit and look at beautifully toned bronzed people sitting by the pool for an hour, I'll just head over to Santa Ponsa and sit in the shade and watch them.
It's
give me
an interesting
fight.
Notion, isn't it, Emmett?
Yeah, although I've got to say I loved the Colleen and Rebecca Vardy story, though I agree massively on the whole not in the, you know, limelight, because I had to double check that Rebecca Vardy was Jamie Vardy's wife, the footballer, which, you know, Vardy isn't that common a name. I was like, I'd better just Google before I tweet about this. Like, even I wasn't certain there, and I'm a big football fan. But just everything about what Colleen Rooney did, it's like, I know they aren't the biggest stars, but this is so, so cool. It was like sort of like out of a detective movie or some sort of spy thing where, you know, she's like setting her trap and then she springs it. And like out of nowhere and like the big reveal, like, you know, this was some pro wrestling level stuff. Like, you know, I really, really enjoyed this story. But also like in terms of what she actually did, because you think about this, Colleen Rooney has access to all kinds of funds. She could get whatever kind of investigator she want. She did what essentially, like, you know, anyone listening to this with kids could teach their kids to do with their own Instagram in order to, like, you know, smoke out someone bullying them or something or spreading rumors, because this was very much about sort of, you know, the empowerment of using Instagram, because all these social media networks come under massive pressure, and rightly so, for not doing enough to protect users. So when they do something which gives those controls back and we see someone like Colleen Rooney actually using them for her own benefit, like, that's actually kind of nice as well. Like, obviously, you know, Rebecca, maybe you should have, you know, better hobbies, but at the same time, it's like, wow, this is kind of cool, because she could have done all this other crazy, more convoluted stuff. No, no. She just goes, what can I do with my Instagram to find out who's doing this to me?
But she kind of let, you know, women's secret out of the bag. If you give a woman someone's first name and their fifth class primary school teacher, they will have their Instagram account within 10 minutes. I promise you. It's a skill we have.
But what you said earlier was so right, because even when I was thinking back to reality TV in the early 2000s or the mid 2000s. I mean, remember Nasty Nick and all this sort of stuff?
Well, he made it really in terms of, like, you know, reality TV being a thing you had to watch.
Yeah.
Because he
but
was
unafraid,
like,
though.
Unafraid. And he managed to get his own mini career out of it as well. I remember Channel 4 gave him a quiz show
then
and stuff.
Then it's just Jade Goody and Shilpa Shetty.
Yeah.
This was insane.
Yep.
This was insane fighting.
Oh, I mean, this is properly going at each other, like, you know, and obviously some pretty crazy stuff there as well. But then you're like, yeah, like you're saying, Love Island this year, it was all essentially who can be the nicest to each other.
Pretty much.
You know, it's like who can be the blandest. And it's like not ideal, like, you know.
And we're still living off the Gallaghers as well for celebrity feuds. Like, and
over it's just,
No, but you're right. Like, we need Noel and Liam to have a fight every now and again to give us something to talk about. But even like the Katy Perry and Taylor Swift one, it's like a Cold War where, you know, we know they don't like each other. We know they're feuding, but they don't do anything to feud like, you know.
We need a good Irish celebrity feud as well.
I'll step up if anyone wants to fight me. Not that I'm a celebrity, but if anyone wants to fight me, go
I was, I'm still living off the Linda Martin and the Aslan one. That was fantastic.
Right. Let's get the two Marties after each other, Whelan and Morrissey. Let's get some beef between the Marties.
We need some juice. I'm bored.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. All right, Emmett, you're throwing something mad into Mario Sunday Roast. And here it is. We'll get to it.
7 hours of football start now. We are loaded with every touchdown. Down the sideline. What a catch. From every game. Unbelievable. Every Sunday afternoon. Guys for the pylon, he made it. Move the sticks. Hello. With some patience and some burst. Touchdown. We were built for days like today.
Big fat American promo. Okay, Emmett, explain what that is and why you're bringing it up on the roast.
I am throwing into the roast the most understated show on television, NFL Red Zone.
All right.
It's fantastic in terms of the concept. Like, obviously, it covers American football, but I think so much of the TV you can learn from this. Essentially, it's a 7-hour show, 6 p.m. every Sunday during the NFL season until 1 a.m. That's because it's Irish time, obviously. In America, it'd be like 1 to 8 or whatever. And they don't have any ad breaks at all. And they aren't at one single game. They're at all the games that are on all the time in the NFL. So it's this guy, Scott Hansen, is in the studio. He's sort of your anchor who's sort of, you know, keeping an eye on where everything's going. And they will jump from game to game to game. So wherever something cool is happening, hence the term red zone, you know, they will be there. And that's so you're not having to sit through all the boring
and breaks they show
all
it.
The waiting. And they show it, yeah.
So it's like Sky Sports Saturday, Gillette Soccer Saturday, except they show it.
Except they show it. It was like the goal show they have BT Sport during the Champions League as well. Only obviously with the NFL, a few more, you know, things to show, because football, it's harder to work out when something's going to be exciting because of the nature of the game, whereas NFL, it's so structured. But it's no ads at all during the whole show, which is a key thing with it. So, like, you know, if you're someone who's got, like, you know, sort of, you know, stuff to do on a Sunday evening, maybe not the best thing to watch because you're going to sit in your chair and stay watching. But if you're like me and Sunday is basically the last bit of peace you have before the working week, it's amazing. I, like, park my seat. My flatmate who doesn't even like American football watches it because, again, it's like, you know, sort of like crack cocaine, basically. Like, you know, it's just, you just get it, you know, into you and it's like, yeah, yeah, this is great. And there's, like, you know, peaks and troughs as well. So you know every week from about 8:15 onwards to about 9:15, it's going to be particularly mental because loads of the early games are ending and then you have the little come down again and it starts picking up again. Like, you know, it's crazy. But I think regular television can learn from this.
How?
So if you think about how we use Netflix and Amazon and the likes of those, the big thing they have going for them, apart from obviously having lots of cool shows, is you can just keep binging, you can keep doing whatever you want, and you don't have to worry about the ad breaks and stuff. And aside from the BBC, that's not really an option. But commercial businesses need to make money. Like, you know, it's like if like RTE or ITV or whatever didn't have ad breaks, or Sky, there'd be kind of problems there, because it'd be great shows, but they'd be closed in a week. What the NFL Red Zone does, it does have commercials. It just aren't, you know, breaking up the show. Everything is sponsored. So, you know, you have Amazon sponsor some parts, Microsoft Surface does other parts. And the idea is essentially, this is how we fit the advertising in. And if you think about a show like Love Island, like we were mentioning earlier, you know, it can be on for a couple of hours on the night. And the people want to be able to binge, want to be able to get through it. And they just want more of it. And for those shows, it's great because, you know, you've got sort of, you know the audience who wants it. But the ad break, it's a bit of a come down. You still want that commercial money, obviously. But if you could have it go straight through where it's like, you know, this segment is sponsored by, you know, Mario Rosenstock or by Pamela Joyce, even like, you know, it's like, you know, Pamela, you know, in order to get there to be fights in the show, she'll actually pay money. And it's like, I think a lot of linear TV can learn from this, because the ad breaks, somewhere wrong, they're a very important part of businesses making money. But they're harder for people, you know, to stay tuned in is the thing. And so I'm thinking we've got to find a new way to make things commercially viable. And like, I think for linear TV, it's a great idea, because especially we've got a lot of these shows now, which are your 2-3 hours long. You've got your X Factors and all this still. Now, obviously, with you know, your Fair Cities and your EastEnders, well, EastEnders wouldn't matter, but Coronation Street is a bit tougher. But I think there are still ways we could fit it in a bit better.
I think that sounds exhausting. 7 hours of boom, 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 boom. I would be exhausted. And I think, while it is a great idea, I think a once-off Sunday show, great. But I think, as you know, consumers of TV, we need to reprogram ourselves, because if we're not on the edge of our seats at all times, you've lost us. We're on our phones. And I understand where it's coming from. We need to constantly be entertained. But as you're saying, maybe that could translate to Love Island. If you think back to early 2000s when Big Brother was massive, if you turned on Channel 4 at 1 o'clock in the morning, it was a constant stream of just the cameras flicking from room to room. And half the excitement, you could be watching for an hour and nothing could happen. But the excitement was like, is something going to happen? Is someone going to get out of the bed and do something? What's going to happen? That was the thrilling part of it. Thinking, am I going to catch something here that maybe no one else is going to catch, because I've been sitting here for an hour and a half just watching the garden? But you never know. I think that's the exciting part of it. And I think if you're to condense all of that in, it's going to be exhausting.
So, Emmett, when I was listening to your theory there, I was thinking, is he describing a sort of a new type of television station which basically gets all the best bits of television programmes and just goes to them one after the other? And I had a sort of a vision of going to Ray Darcy first, ladies and gentlemen, Jack Nicholson, and then you flick straight over to Doughy O'Shea going, and the Waterford Rose is the Waterford Lee, straight over to Marty Whelan, €84,000 you won, and over to Miriam Braggs, it is done. What a station that would be, the highlights.
In fairness, if it had that last part, I would totally tune into that station. You know, it's like, it's over. Oh, brilliant. Thanks, Miriam. But it's like,
what I suppose, mean, like, Larkin's dead.
For the intensity, I totally agree. It's like, there's only so many shows can do that intensity, but I think, you know, finding ways to show television essentially with fewer ad breaks as such, I think is a real option going forward, because I know there are certain restrictions now on what you can do for product placement and the like, but I think it needs to modernize, because it's a real issue for linear TV is that Netflix and Amazon don't have to worry about this as a factor.
It's true.
And, you know, Sky to a degree still have to worry about it, but even then Sky have so many other side things which are also making money for them. If you're a regular broadcaster, a lot of them, you know, are producing really important stuff, and, you know, I know we're going to get into it and something you're talking about as well. It's like, you need to have alternative sources of income, and you know, you need to have the experience be nearer to a Netflix and Amazon in terms of, you know, the control over the show. Like, Sky obviously have their binge options with certain series they produce. But, like, you know, it's like, if you're, you know, Fair City fan, like, you know, but maybe watching it at the times it's on during the week isn't ideal. But if the omnibus was sort of, you know, shown in a way that was ad-free, but you had, like, sponsored segments during it, I think that would be, really work for RTE on a weekend afternoon.
That conversation was sponsored by Tesco. Fantastic, Emmett. Well done. Actually, very interesting. You had me thinking now. That is an interesting thing. Yeah. Do you write about this as well?
I do, but also I watch Red Zone every week, so it's handy to be able to just talk about it on the radio.
I must tune into it. It sounds like a mad program. Okay, we're going to take a break. I'm with Pamela Joyce and Emmett Ryan. Join me after the break to see what I'm putting into the roast.
Today FM. Mario's Sunday Roast with Deliveroo. Delivering you food freedom.
And this is me, Mario Rosenstock, on the Sunday Roast. And Pamela, you set them all off now. I didn't realise that was going to happen. Loads of tweets coming in for you. And, well, they're fighting with you, Pamela, as well.
Great.
So hello all, my name is No Prob Rob, and I just like to say it's a shame that society only gets a kick out of negativity nowadays. What do you think of that?
I would say that is fake news. I mean, to be honest, I'm slightly sick of all the positivity. While it's great, I would say we need 90% positivity, 10% a little bit, let's get back down to earth. Negativity exists. It's never going to not exist. And pretending that it doesn't exist isn't doing anyone any harm, any help, rather.
I mean, it's safe negativity, like, you know, because we have enough, like, proper bad news negativity. But, like,
exactly,
you know, it's, like,
it's a bit of a
distraction. We need something like this where it's, you know, it's because, like, Heidi and, you know, Nicole and all that aren't going to, like, Lauren aren't going to, like, hurt our lives. But
no.
They give us fun.
Okay. And it's entertaining us, and they're human beings. Yeah. They're going to fight with each
Here's
other.
Here's another one. Reality TV. Horrible people being horrible to other horrible people. I'd rather watch trains crashing on a loop. Now, hold my hand, Pamela, for the next one.
I'm scared.
Pamela, hold my hand. The dumbing down of society is summed up by Pamela and her ilk. Lapping up all this celebrity feud nonsense. You're squeezing my hand. No one seems to see the double standard involved in the fact that the reason the Sun et al. Run meaningless stories from taken from no-mark celebrities' social media is because the vacuous Love Island generation give them a market for it. Now, Pamela. And then they wonder and fret about how someone like Donald Trump can get elected. TC in Dublin. Well done, TC. Thanks for your text. Joyce, I'd love to fight with you, but you're too nice. John from Galway.
Oh, John. A fellow Galwegian.
10 years ago, Mario, Kanye West did that. Time is flying. Oh, my God, I feel so old. Crazy the world we live in that Twitter took off about that. Okay, yeah, very interesting. I suppose it kind of segues a little bit into my subject. Here's the clip.
Trump displayed the so-called cone of uncertainty forecast back from August 29th, and there, apparently drawn in Sharpie on the far left, a cone annex of sorts, a protuberance, an appendage added on to include Alabama.
You see, it was going to hit not only Florida, but Georgia. It could have was going toward the Gulf. That was what was originally projected.
Okay, that's Donald Trump in what was dubbed Sharpiegate. It's about a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, or a month ago. I don't even know, because it's such a blizzard of news that surrounds Trump. You don't know the way the cycle turns over. But I'll get to that in a minute, because something strange happened to me this week. I was reading one of the thousands of news stories I have to read, because that's what I do. I read all the papers and kind of all the online websites to come up with ideas for Gift Grub and to trawl around and see angles. And I was just going through The Guardian, and I was reading a couple of articles in The Guardian. I came to the end of the article, and as usual, I scrolled down, and it says, "We have a favour to ask." And thousands of times I've done this before. I just skip, "We have a favour to ask," and then move on. But for some reason, unknown to me, I stopped this time when they showed me, "We have a favour to ask." I thought about it. I stopped. I read it all from beginning to end. And I got out my Visa debit card, and I submitted €10 per month to this Guardian, and I know why. I did it because something changed in my brain that said, I want to pay now for what I would regard as reasonably reliable. Okay, we know that the Guardian is, you know, left of centre and liberal and all that, but reasonably reliable, neutral, honest news, rather than the dissemination of mad news that gets thrown onto you on Facebook. And more and more now, the sensationalist news that the race to the bottom is heralding among so-called newspapers. And I just wanted to pay for news, because I suppose we get everything free and we're expecting everything to be free. And that is cheapening everything, and it's making everything trash now, the fact that it's free. So I was kind of going, I want to now pay to support, pay to employ people who are hopefully dedicated to being fair and clear about the news. Because I'm, you know, getting a little bit sick of how the media over-sensationalise the news. For example, Trump. The media love Trump. I was kind of thinking today, what will happen when Trump is gone? There will be a post-mortem into this among the media. They'll die. Trump, they love Boris. They adore Boris. These two compulsive liars. And they actually play this game with Trump and Boris all the time, where they call them liars, they call them this, but they love it. They love it. Even stories about disasters, you know, I'm loath to say this almost, but you know it. You've seen it yourself on the news. The newscaster comes on and goes, and we're hearing now that 20 people have been killed, and we're hearing it might even be more. Stay tuned. And believe it or not, I'm not imagining this, but there is a sense of this could be great. There could be more people dead, which would make an even, and especially with the shootings in America, 47 people have dead. Could it be 50? Let's bring it up to 54, 60. When are we going to get a 70, a 75-er? Give us a 75-er. You know, like the one in Las Vegas was 56 or something. Come on, give us a 70. I've even seen them tuning back, and it's like we're hearing now that not 20 people killed, 18 people were killed slightly sorry. Slightly, you know, balloon is punctured. And the Sharpie Gate thing, this is the kernel of my point. Basically, Trump was saying that Hurricane Dorian is going to hit Alabama. And the National Weather Service of America said it's categorically not going to hit Alabama. So Trump then showed a graph which showed the encroachment of the hurricane, clearly not in Alabama. But then he showed the new graph, which had a little protuberance coming out of the graph, clearly drawn by him in Sharpie, which included Alabama to justify his lies. Now, here's the point. The news organizations didn't say Trump is a pathological, compulsive liar and he is our president. No, they dubbed this whole thing Sharpiegate. Said, let's go loud to Sharpiegate. In other words, this mild controversy that we're having about something else the president did, something new, something exciting to bring up racing. Sharpiegate, somebody says this about Sharpiegate, somebody says that. They're not getting to the point that we really need to hear. The man in charge of the executive, leader of the free world, is a compulsive liar. And this is the story that needs to be done, not Sharpiegate.
Yeah, and well, for starters, thanks for paying for money for media. You know, as someone who works for an organization which is entirely paywalled in every respect, that's great. Genuinely, like, but like, no, but you're right, it makes a difference because it's all about the quick hit, the quick fix. And like, part of this as well goes down to, I think, you know, with, and we're like 20 years effectively online as a society, and most people have the internet roughly about 20 years. We still haven't worked out how to make money off it in many respects, which I know sounds a bit crazy when you see all these huge web businesses, but it's still based around, can we get enough traffic rather than the right kind of traffic? Because if you think about how sort of, you know, Today FM would pitch itself versus, you know, a local station, you're thinking, I'm trying to get everybody in a Haas craft for one thing, whereas Today FM is trying to get everybody everywhere. You know what I mean? So how you're selling ads is based around that differently, like, you know, and so how you're making money is different. It's the same with sort of, you know, news media, but somehow online it's still about raw numbers where, no, not really. Like, you know, if you were, you know, smart about it, and also, frankly, advertisers do need to cop on in this respect as well and realize better targeting can work more, in fairness, some have. You know, you can have a sustainable model that isn't entirely dependent on the next quick hit, which, you know, as a guy who was advocating for Red Zone earlier, sounds hilarious. But,
absolutely.
But I need my Sunday, Mario. I need my Sunday, okay? I look at it and I kind of go, like, I, you know, use the mute function on Twitter, not because of things I hate, because of things I'm bored by, you know, and a lot of them are some of the biggest news stories going, because if I mute the words Brexit and Trump, I'm still going to get loads of Brexit and Trump, but I'm just means I'm going to get not everything in my feed is going to be Brexit and Trump, like, yeah. You know, because enough people will not use those two words to refer to those two things that I'll still have all the news I need on both. Trust me, there's no shortage of that.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think we need to give more love to print media and proper journalists, but I do also think there is kind of a bit of, we need to move with the times, and I think they need to coexist, whereby it's a mixture of, you know, these little possibly clickbaity things and the proper hard-hitting journalism. Because, for example, as I was dubbed earlier, the Love Island generation, I'm not going to click into a headline that's very, you know, political. I'm not going to click into that. But I will click into Sharpiegate to see what it's about, and I will get the story in a roundabout way, just in a way that I want to see it. I'm not going to click into, you know, whatever it is about certain political fields. That's not my game. But I will click into Sharpiegate to see what the crack is, see that's funny, and I will get the story at the end of the day.
Maybe anybody out there, 087-4100-102, have you made a decision recently to maybe contribute in a little way to pay for maybe news in some way? Let me know. Two other things struck me, actually. It's, as well as, the, you know, in Ireland it happens as well, you know. So, I don't know, you hear the news and it's like, Hurricane Bosco is on the way and we're all doomed. You know, build your forts in your kitchen, get your kids together, throw the blankets over and the chairs, because we're all going to die from Hurricane Bosco tomorrow. And Joe Duffy will be on straight away going, are you ready for Hurricane Bosco? Bosco, Bosco, Bosco's on. Bosco's on. We're all going to die, die, Bosco, Bosco. And so this is, you know, and then it turns out Hurricane Bosco is just a little little fart. It's basically a fart, a kind of a little Atlantic, little breeze that comes and nothing happens. And the other one is, if anybody did mention The Guardian, it's not the only one I would read. I would just use that as an example, and it was the one I paid for. But Marina Hyde, I don't know if anybody reads her, but it's worth pointing out. Marina Hyde is a political journalist, and she's extremely funny, extremely ballsy, and I urge anybody out there to have a go at her. Anything else to add, lads, or?
No, that's great. Obviously, you know, the Business Post is a good subscription too, Mario.
And I'm ready to fight if anyone wants to fight me.
Okay, fantastic. 087-4100-102 if you have any comments for me. I'm live for the next hour and 20 minutes. And we're going to play a song now. Okay, Love Me Again, Ray and Jess Glynn.